You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome to another edition of For Cheddar or Worst, Acme Packing Company's podcast, covering the good, the bad, and everything in between surrounding your Green Bay Packers. Fresh off a barn burner of a 27-24 overtime win over the New England Patriots. I am your host, co-host Chris Burke, joined alongside our social media manager and my esteemed co-host, Lindsay Hansen. Lindsay, how are you on this fine Sunday evening? We're recording earlier.
Oh boy. I think my blood pressure is finally starting to even out a little bit after today's game. That was truly wild.
Yeah, you know, going into the game, the Packers were 9.5-point favorites. If the line moved, I didn't see it. Going up against Brian Hoyer, a backup quarterback from New England, after it was announced that Mac Jones was going to be out, kind of thought this would be kind of a good get-right game for the Packers. You know, not much there, and hoo boy, were we wrong. Not only that, Brian Hoyer went out, and Bailey Zappe was the next quarterback for the Patriots, so they were at their on their third quarterback, which was actually the second game that saw that happen. The Giants, ironically enough, Green Bay's next opponent, we'll talk more about this, lost both quarterbacks they had up today and had to use Saquon Barkley, their running back, as an emergency quarterback today. But yeah, boy, as far as the Packers, that was way closer than it needed to be. But, you know, a win is a win. And I'll say, just like we said last week, like Matt LaFleur says, we'll never apologize for winning.
Yeah, we came out with it in the end, but man, was it, it was just not at all what I thought going in. And then at the same time, I was like, well, every time the Packers are favorited, especially by as much as they were going into this game, they seem to just disappoint us in some big way, which did happen. And ultimately they came out with it in the end, but it was not an easy win by any stretch of the imagination.
It most definitely was not. Kind of a goofy day, goofy weekend in terms of Wisconsin sports. You know, the Packers had their game today. Brewers lost and are all but out of postseason contention. And then on top of that, right at the end of the third quarter, you know, the Badgers got their behinds kicked yesterday by Illinois, but right at the end of the third quarter, almost to the minute when the Packers fans were doing jump around at Lambeau Field, news broke that the Wisconsin Badgers fired their football coach, Paul Christ. And obviously we are not a Wisconsin Badgers podcast. We're going to get to Packers football in a second here, but I just kind of do want to address this a little bit, because I know we've got a ton of listeners in Wisconsin. It's a shame that it had to come to this. Paul Christ is very well respected, terrific guy all around. Unfortunately, what happened to Mike McCarthy happened to him. Program got stale. Their offense has especially gotten stale, where it was just kind of time to move on. Jim Leonard, who came fairly close to, if reports are to be believed, he came very close to being the Packers' defensive coordinator after the team parted ways with Mike Pettine, ended up staying in Madison, is now the interim head coach. We wish him well, but kind of a goofy weekend of Wisconsin sports.
Yes. When is it not though? I mean, being a Wisconsin sports fan is just heart attack inducing. So stressful. It doesn't matter what team. It just seems to be the curse of Wisconsin, I guess. Very stressful.
Yeah, it's Wisconsin, even more so than the Packers, don't like to thrive on drama. And we obviously know what happened with Mike McCarthy, with his late season firing. But just, they got some things to do. And, you know, the Badgers are obviously probably not going to be doing much this season. They probably should still get a bowl berth. But yeah, we'll see what Jim Leonard can do. But enough about the Badgers. Let's talk about, you know, the Packers still got to win, as dirty as it might feel. So Lindsay, what do we got? What do we got going on for good news this week?
Yes, of course. We've said it a bunch already. We got the win. That is definitely calls for, you know, the cheddar column. Along with that, Rashawn Gary, I mean, he was on fire today. He had two sacks, a forced fumble. It was a sack, a fumble, and then a recovery that he was able to do in one play. It was really, he was on fire. He's always a fun guy to watch. I love him very much. And he's our man. I mean, he really, we love Gary.
Yeah, he, you know, it's so much for the talk of the draft bust, right? You know, when the Packers took him in 2019, everybody was pulling their hair out. You know, Twitter had him labeled as a draft bust. Everybody now has their prohibitive foot in their mouths after that. But in terms of this particular game, even early on, just seeing what he was doing, I just kind of said, oh, this is going to be a Rashawn Gary game, huh? And somebody immediately replied and corrected me and said, Rashawn Gary season, not game, season. True. And it was a very, very foreboding comment. And I think it's time, you know, after a game like today, I think it's time we can start. Obviously, there's a lot of football left, but I think we can start firing up the Defensive Player of the Year campaign for Rashawn Gary. When the Packers lost to Darius Smith, they haven't missed a beat in terms of disruptiveness from their edge rushers. You know, there's
true. Yeah.
He just two sacks, tackle for a loss, you know, that forced fumble and the recovery. Just he's turned into an absolute beast. And it's about time more people around the league start paying attention to number 52.
Absolutely. And that play specifically was just, it was sick. I mean, I cannot, that was just a perfect play by him. It really, really was. He's such a powerhouse, and we're really lucky to have him on our team, on our side. So yes, definitely. Rashawn Gary, we love you. Great job today. Aaron Jones. Oh, man. RB1. We love Aaron Jones. He had another really great game last week. He kind of, you know, didn't have as much action again, a lot like the week one game. Obviously, week two, he saw a lot of action, was phenomenal. And just the, you know, the kind of breakout star of game two. And he was seeing a lot of action, a lot more action today as well. He's just a reliable, fantastic player. I will keep saying it. I really hope that the Packers extend his contract. He is just such an asset for the team. I mean, we need to try and keep him. I think if you ask me, I really think he is worth, you know, worth paying the big bucks for, because he is so talented. I mean,
yeah, he's there was a lot of talk this year that could AJ Dillon usurp him as the
right.
As RB1, and he did it. I started to buy into that, and I can banish that thought out of my head. I mean, his stat line today, unbelievable. 16 carries, 110 yards, averaging a nice 6.9 yards per carry. And three receptions as well. So he's still getting some love out of the passing game. But yeah, he's, the reports of his demise were greatly exaggerated. You know, the offense needs to run through Aaron. I just don't think it needs to be Rodgers right now. I think it needs to be Jones. It's running through the wrong Aaron, so to speak. So I think, you know, he's really the one that, you know, and we'll talk about this when we look ahead to next week, but the offense really needs to run through him while the receivers keep, you know, while Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson continue to get their sea legs underneath them. run when the ball gets in number 33's hand, good thing happen. Good things happen. Full stop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think, you know, Dylan definitely had a slow start. It was really in the overtime that we really saw more of him. And he did make some great runs for us and some great plays. But I do agree in that Jones is, you know, designated as RB1, just based on the game two and this game's performances. I mean, he's reliable. We can always count on him. He is, he's a great, great player for us.
Yeah. Just to be clear, he's actually still under contract for 4 more years, but starting, I believe, next year, the Packers do have some options if they did want to move on. Obviously, we right now think that's completely out of the question. So obviously I think, you know, tacking on some more money to that, you know, the Packers, I think, definitely need to keep him around. No doubt about it. They need number 33 on the field.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got a lot of errands on the Packers and most of them are very, very strong players for us. So keep that trend going. Yeah. I thought for sure, I don't know why I thought that his contract was coming to a end after this season.
Because he had signed a longer deal, but it was basically kind of a, because he was up after 2020. The last 2 years were kind of a 2 year, you know, they converted his salary over into a signing bonus. But I think, you know, because it was really kind of sort of a 2 year deal when you looked at it, where they could get outs after that. But, you know, he's technically under contract for at least the next 2 more seasons, at least. Actually, okay. I think, yeah, he's got 2 more years at least. I read that wrong, but yeah, he's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent in 2025. Excuse me. I can't read numbers. The adrenaline rush has sapped my brain cells. Excuse me. It's not 4 more years. It's only 2 more. So he signed through the end of the 2024 season, scheduled to become a free agent in 2025. So, you know, obviously if they're going to look at an extension, I think they'd probably have to come after next year. You know, I think he's definitely earned his spot for 2023 for sure.
Oh, he absolutely has. Yeah. Nevertheless, we need to keep him, Packers. So just make sure we do. Alan Lazard, he was on fire tonight. He put up a great performance. Oh my God. That one catch. Holy, what was I forget the time of that catch. Remind me, Chris. Like unbelievable, beautiful. It was like the fourth quarter, I believe.
I believe so. This game took so many years and brain cells out of my brain. But yes, it was in the, I believe it was the late third, early fourth. But yes, that was a fantastic catch that, you know, the offense had sputtered up to that point, yes. For a good chunk of the game. But other than,
it was the one that turned the offense around. It was the throw and the catch that got them going again. So that was a massive, massive play by Lazard. And he's really proving himself to be a reliable receiver for Rodgers. You can tell Rodgers trusts him and he likes the way that, you know, that he plays the game. And he said in multiple interviews that Lazard is always asking the right questions, trying to learn, trying to get better.
So that catch actually, oh my God, we were both way off. Just to shows you how much brain power this game sucked out of us. It was actually at the very start of the second half. I had a feeling that was right, but I'm like, I swear that was later. I thought they sputtered, but nope, it was right at the start of the second half. So
this game was so long. Everything is jumbled. Like nothing. Yeah. Nothing is. Okay. So the beginning of the third.
Exact. Very beginning of the second half. Yeah. Like first play of the third quarter. I thought this game was going to end in a tie at the rate things were going. It's like, oh, this is going to, I'm like, I'm going to have one of those days where I don't know how to feel, aren't I? But yeah, so just shows you what kind of a mind numbing game this was. I think I need to be in the concussion protocol just watching this.
Truly, and listeners, just, you know, for reference, we usually have a day to decompress. We usually record on Monday so that we have a chance to digest everything that happened. So we are, we're in new territory here. And after the game that it was, man, our brains are just jumbled.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be in the protocol for this week, so we'll have to see.
Well, Watson, he got his first career touchdown. That was really cool to see. I know that, like, I'm glad. Well, first, I'm glad he's back from injury. That kid seems to just get injured so often in such a short amount of time. So I'm really glad that we have him back and he's healthy and feeling good. And yeah, it was really, really great to see him get his first TD of his NFL career. What did you think about it? That play was really great.
Yeah, I got to give a shout out to Paul Noonan on reporting as eligible. He had everything he called out about this game happened, about getting Dobbs involved. And he even says, like, Watson's going to house on a jet sweep on an end around, and sure as heck it happened. So I got to give Paul credit for that. Paul and company do a great job on that podcast, shameless plug, to give them a listen on our feed. But I figured Watson's first play, first touchdown wouldn't come on a reception. It would probably come on a play like that. But I mean, the kid can move. I mean, once he got to like the five, I'm like, dude, just walk in. You don't even need, you can just put on the, just coast. He cooked everybody. And I looked at that. I'm like, man, LaFleur really, schematically in that term, spanked Belichick, despite Bill kind of having his way with Matt most of the game otherwise. But I'm happy for him. And I hope this is only the beginning. There's going to be many more touchdowns in his future.
Absolutely. I mean, the kid is so versatile. I mean, very much an athlete, very quick. And I do think that we are going to see him come into his own and start to be a machine for us in a sense. So I'm really excited for that. And I was really happy to see him get that first TD. So
congrats. Yeah, and I really hope this is kind of the start of more involvement for him in the offense. I mean, obviously, it was his first game back, but they got to get the ball in his hands. That just adds a whole nother dimension to that offense. Even I think Aaron needs to start trusting him down the field a little bit more, but it's going to come. It's just we'll talk more about this in the next segment, but we're at that point where it's time to let the kids play.
All right. Well, everyone, that does it for the cheddar part of our show. We're going to take a quick break and we will be back with the bratwurst.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, so we are back for the second half of our podcast, now kind of going over the worst part of the game. And despite the win, I think we actually might have more in the bad column than we do good, despite the result, just because this game was a pain to watch.
Yeah.
So starting at the beginning, the first 2 points kind of marry into each other. But the first half offense, you know, when Aaron Jones, like I said earlier, when Aaron Jones has the ball, it works. For once in a while, you know, then all of a sudden they go to, you know, then they take the ball out of his hands. You know, it's like the running the ball was working, and all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers is starting to throw, as we like to call it, YOLO balls, you know, deep shots, you know, just trying to take shot plays, playing hero ball. And there's really no need to do that. Matt LaFleur did mention afterwards, and I understand this, you know, obviously he's much smarter than I am. He's the NFL coach and I'm not. You know, the concern was that if he understood Rodgers wanting to go deep, just because the more you don't do that, you start to see more stacked boxes, you know, and that's where things could get tough for Jones. And, you know, the way the offense was moving, that could have made things a little tricky. So, I mean, I do respect that a little bit, but man alive, when you've got the running back with a hot hand, run him, you know, maybe not even just run, you know, screens, just, you know, you can deploy Aaron Jones in so many different creative ways. And I really don't think they did that much in the first half.
Yeah, the opening play that Jones had was beautiful. It was for 25 yards. And I was like, oh, if we keep this up, we are set. We're in good shape. And then kind of just fizzled out after that. They didn't really use them. And then, you know, for the rest of the first half, and then second half, obviously, they changed it up and started using him again, and thank God for it. It was a little confusing because it was such a good opening play, and I was like, well, why not keep doing that? Like, that's working. So, yeah, really, really interesting. But like you said, LaFleur and, you know, they had their reasons. So it does make sense, and we are not coaches, we're just fans observing, you know, from the outside looking in. So it was an interesting thing to note after such a great opening play.
Yeah, and I don't know if, you know, Elgton Jenkins, I didn't put him on the list here, but Elgton Jenkins did actually kind of have a rough go of it at right tackle. Really think it's time, you know, if Bakhtiari is settling in, you know, he played a majority of the game and held up well, all things considered. I really think it's time to kick Elgton Jenkins back into guard where he's good. I mean, if you put Jenkins and Bakhtiari on the left side, you're fine there. Rodgers' blind side is on lockdown. You know, you can kick Nyman over to right tackle then, and then move John Runyon over to, or he could even use Zach Tom there. I mean, but I think it's time to move Jenkins back on the inside. I mean, he hasn't played a ton of right tackle, but at the same time, he's a phenomenal, we know he's a studded guard, and you know, if he can't handle the right tackle concern, nothing against him, but I think it's just that might be the way to go on the offensive line once they're certain Bakhtiari is ready to go. Segmenting from that, Aaron Rodgers, oh boy, probably one of the worst first halves of football I've seen him play in a while, at least under Matt LaFleur. Definitely got some early 2019 vibes from, you know, when they were just learning their way, you know, feeling each other out, getting a feel for the new offense on their first year together. But he was inaccurate as all get out in the first half, missing throws in the flat. I mean, there was one ball that I think landed in Fond du Lac. He missed so bad just on a throw to the screen. It was just, it was a very un-Rodgers-like performance. But, you know, as the frustration mounts too, we started seeing some, you know, a hot mic picked him up a couple of times, you know, snap the effing ball to Josh Myers, you know, when they were trying to get set. Then he snaps at Tyler Davis. Well, you know, why are you moving right now? Just it, he got rattled very easily. And at some point, you know, I just, with Aaron, I, you know, stop, you know, you got to stop throwing the ball to your buddies and run the offense. You know, I feel like they're, for whatever reason, they've left a, you know, just a shred of the Mike McCarthy offense in there to help Aaron out, just to keep him comfortable instead of fully going with the LaFleur offense. I think it's time to take that security blanket away. He's probably not going to like it, but run the offense. Like, Matt LaFleur can scheme things up as well as anybody. I think he's proven that in the last 3 years. Just run the offense, dude. Stop worrying about getting the balls to certain people. Just run the offense. Take what it gives you. This is meant to make your life easier, you know, and stop these hero ball things. Like, it, Matt LaFleur is well within his rights to rein him in. It's a four, you know, he's a four-time MVP, but, you know, he just like his predecessor on the field, you know, you got to rein him in a little bit. If he works within the offense, it'll be fine. Just, he had a better second half. I'll give him that. You know, things looked a little better there, but just, I mean, there's just times right now, it's just like, Aaron, what are you doing? Like, sometimes it feels like he's too smart for his own good, you know?
Yeah, it is a different Aaron Rodgers this season so far. That is something that we've all noticed. I'm not sure really what's going on, because it isn't like he hasn't faced this kind of situation before. And I mean, granted, he was much younger. I don't know. The first half was so painful for the offense. I mean, nothing happened on the offense, which is exactly what we were talking about last week during the Bucks game, where just nothing was happening. And eventually they got around to, you know, once Lazard made that fantastic catch, and Rodgers, to his credit, deserves credit on that throw. That was phenomenal, which we now know was in the top of the third and not the bottom. thanks for looking that up and confirming, Chris. So yeah, I think it's really, it's not something that we are used to in terms of Rodgers. I think that he needs to get out of his own head a little bit. And I do think, I agree, we've talked about this before, that the mental blocks that occur when mistakes are made, I think they're really having a different kind of effect on him this year for whatever reason. I'm not sure. I really hope that we're able to figure it out, because that could very well be a detriment that we can't get past if we can't figure out a way to face it now, early in the season.
Well, you know, that's exactly it. It's like, stop it with the Jedi mind tricks. Just go play football, work within the offensive scheme. Like, you don't need to prove to anybody that you're the smartest person on the field. Just work within the damn offense. It is, I mean, I'm not a professional quarterback, obviously, but it's like, just work, like, get out of your own, like you said, get out of your own head. Stop it with the mind games and just play. You'll be fine.
He has the talent. So it's just like, just play.
Yeah. And, you know, the Packers have shown, like, they've shown so much, like, they've shown bits on offense and, you know, on deep special team. If the Packers can ever put it all together, they look like they're going to be a darn good football team. But so far, they haven't shown that they're close to getting everything put together. They're just going to have these little spurts where talent's winning out over it. But if they can just put everything, you know, put all three phases together for a seamless performance, you know, they can string some of those together, they're going to be fine. But until then, it's going to be, you know, and unfortunately, I think a lot of these blood pressure raising games are going to be the norm until they do that.
Yeah, it's just so clunky. It feels so clunky right now. We just can't get in that groove that we usually find. And granted, this is obviously coming from, you know, we are 3-1. So we have found a way to win 3 of the 4 games that we've played so far. So we also have to, you know, I'm just going to say that and remind everyone that, like, we're not nitpicking. We really want this team to go to the Super Bowl. And I do think they have what it takes. Exactly like you said, if they're able to figure out how to make it a seamless, cohesive unit, as opposed to 3 different teams, you know, it's going to be a long season, if not.
Oh, and for sure. And I mean, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but there are a couple within a whisker of the last 2 games. We could be sitting here in a much different mood looking at this at 1-3. So we're saying it out of love, but obviously a lot of work to do. And the Packers know that they're not out there fooling themselves. They know they've got to get better. Rodgers said as much at his post-game press conference today that he's got to play better as well. But he's like, I usually don't string together 2 bad halves of football. It's usually true. So yeah, obviously, you know, never apologize for winning, survive in advance, whatever the heck you want to call it. But you know, that, I'm still confident they'll put it together. Moving on to another. So he caught it. He had his first Lambeau leap today. So I'm super happy for Romeo Doubs, but I still have to include him. You know, his fault, the second one, you know, with that fumble. Once again, they're putting the ball on the ground. You know, it's a problem he's been showing. Is it just a rookie problem? You know, and I thought after that fumble he had, I'm like, boy, Rodgers is going to look his way again. You know, saying that tongue-in-cheek sort of, just because, you know, when a receiver makes a mistake, Rodgers throws him into the doghouse fairly quickly. But, you know, he had some of those RPO plays at the end where he was a contributor at the end that helped them get into a position to win the game. So I can't knock him for that. But, you know, and also that long touchdown where Matt LaFleur stupidly, that non-touchdown catch where Matt LaFleur foolishly wasted a challenge. And Matt LaFleur, to his credit, props to him, admitting afterwards, I had my staff screaming. You know, you said basically I had my staff telling me, don't challenge it. I did it anyway. It was an emotional decision. It was dumb. So definitely something he knows he can go from. But that was that close to being a heck of a catch. But it was so similar to the Dez Bryant reception that I just thought, I'm like, yep, karma got us back from that playoff game in 2015.
Initially we all thought it was a touchdown for like a second. We were like, woo, so excited, screaming, just like Doubs did it again. He was superstar. And then quickly saw that he dropped it before getting down, and there was no mistaking it. There was absolutely no mistaking that. So it went from so happy to so bummed within a matter of 2 seconds. And even, I mean, Rodgers thought he had it, you know, Rodgers was celebrating, and it was another great toss by him. It is something that Doubs is going to have to work on. He is very much a rookie. This was his 4th NFL game of his career. So I do really see potential in the kid. And I really think that he is going to be a standout player for us. I think that he's going to figure out a way to, to make sure that he holds on to those ones. And does, you know, works on the fumbles, because that is the fumbles are what is worrisome. But again, I do think that's simply a rookie finding his footing. And I've got a good feeling about Doubs, and we'll see, but hopefully I'm right.
Yeah, because later on he did have that patented back shoulder throw from 12 to 87. It seemed like old times, you know, just a different player wearing that number. So I think he's going to be fine. You know, he could have done a better job getting under that ball on that long pass. He'll see that. He'll understand that. But, you know, is a millimeter or two here or there, probably a different result. So stinks, but hate to put that in the column, but that definitely did. If they score that game, this game's over. Like, if that pick six that Aaron Rodgers threw at the beginning, and I did mention that in the earlier column, shame on me. Another, you know, he doesn't throw pick sixes often, but, you know, if they got that back and that Dobbs back, this game is, we're not sweating it at all. It's a much more comfortable win. So they say football's a game of, they say football's a game of inches, and it's very true.
Yeah, that was his fourth ever pick six in his entire career. So that never happens, which is something that we're saying a lot with Rodgers. It's like, oh, that never happens with Rodgers, which is ironic. But truly, though, never happens. Like, he never does that. So that was a huge, huge blow. You know, that was rough.
Yeah, you know, just it. Yeah, he's got four interceptions, I believe, already on the year. And boy, that's, you know, he's on pace to throw, I think, 12 for the year total, which would be the most he's had in a long time. But, you know, when you compare that, you know, for Rodgers, that's a little rough. But when you compare that to the NFL quarterbacks, that is an unbelievably crazy number, you know, when you look at a big picture. So,
yeah,
obviously some things to clean up in the passing game. Defense overall. We're going to start just with the run defense. You know, the Packers knew what the Patriots were going to do, especially with the backup and the, you know, with the backup and not without a third string quarterback, you know, that they were going to run the ball quite a bit. You know, Joe Barry seemed to know what was coming, and yet they often seemed powerless to stop it. People really having a hard time setting the edge. Just another sloppy game. The head of the, you know, the Patriots outgained, actually the Packers did outgain the Patriots 199 to 167 on the ground. Sure didn't seem like it, but boy, they were, you know, it seemed like they were helpless at a point. They were getting gashed, especially early on, you know, and once again, first drive points were surrendered. You know, it would be nice to, that'll definitely help the offensive rhythm. You know, if they can just get their first drive at a 0-0 score when, you know, they're not receiving the kickoff.
Yeah, the run defense is definitely that is the area of defense that we need the most improvement on and need to work on the most. Our defense is phenomenal. I really am proud of how they've been playing these, you know, four games going into the season. The run defense definitely needs work. And we saw that again today. We saw that with Chicago. They know, everyone knows it. Everyone knows that if they run the ball, they can likely, you know, run it all the way down the field because our run defense has holes in it, if you will. And that is something that we've got to clean up. And, you know, hopefully we will sooner than later. It's hard for me to talk about the defense in a negative way just because they have been so phenomenal, right? Like the rest of defense has really changed the course of games for us, especially the last 2 weeks. So yeah, I mean, it's painful to say, but yes, our rush defense definitely needs to be improved.
Well, for me, it's just been, you know, the inconsistency of the defense is what's starting to get to me. It's just, there's times they look, I don't want to say generational, that's probably too strong, but there are times that they've looked like a top tier defense. Then there's other times it's like, what are they doing? You know, that it's self-inflicted stuff. It's strategic. It's like, come on, Joe Barry, get out of your own way. Just keep it simple. But, you know, when I thought about the run defense, you know, could they use, you know, maybe another cheap veteran midseason? You know, do they do and I do not want to read the comments section after I say this, but, you know, would they dare do a devil with Ndamukong Suh? You know, he obviously has been a thorn in the Packers side for all the wrong reasons, you know, dirty play and all that. But, you know, do the Packers can they get some use out of him for, you know, a little bit? You can probably get him cheap. You know, he would sign cheap to chase a ring. So I don't know on that. Just I'm struggling in you know what it can do, because you know they gotta, you know, I don't know what else they can really do right
now. Yeah, I am not sure. Something I did want to bring up, and while we're on defense, Kenny Clark with that penalty after the sack, that personal foul penalty, that was so unlike him. I mean, I didn't understand. I still don't understand what happened. It's just so non-characteristically Clark, you know, he's usually never one to get a call or a foul like that. And that really, that resulted in a touchdown for the Pats. You know, it was the start of the drive that personal foul happened. And then they brought it all the way to the end zone. So, it is concerning. I don't think it's something that we're going to see very often. It was more shocking, actually. I'm not going to say concerning. It was more shocking.
Yeah, I don't understand that either, because that took them out of a second and long, and that really helps. You know, if that penalty doesn't happen, you know, that may stop. I don't know the full story behind that either. I barely caught it on camera, but those are the kind of boneheaded penalties that you just can't have happen. So it's not a habit with Clark, just one of those spur of the moment things that could have had a much worse impact on the game. But yeah, that, you know, maybe they get that first drive stop, but you know, it's like I said before, the Packers just have got to stop tripping over themselves in terms of, you know, defense. They can be so good. It's just get out of your own way.
Well, that was self-inflicted. I mean, that one was 100% on Clark. It was like, why? What was the point of that? And how did that help? How did that help anything? Why would you, like, it's just, you know, it's ego and it's emotion and everything like that. I understand it. And I have, this is me talking because about it as if like I have a clue what happened, and I don't know the reasoning for it. From the outside looking in, I'm just questioning why.
Yeah, I'm not, until it becomes a pattern, I'm not going to lose too much sleep over it. But yeah, it's kind of one of those type moments.
Yeah, he's not, like I said, it's not concerning. It's more just like, it was more just like, well, that's shocking. That never happened. Clark. That never happens on the Packers, period. We don't do that.
No, we don't do unnecessary roughness. Exactly. We don't.
Exactly. So.
So then, you know, one more bad note on the defense. This not so much schematically or strategic, but safety depth was obviously a concern. And, you know, Adrian Amos out of the game early with a concussion. Not great, especially now that the Packers have a very long flight coming up. And in light of the Tua situation, I don't think, you know, teams are now going to be, especially with that investigation still ongoing, teams are going to be extremely careful. And, you know, if I think it's the moment you just – to anyone, if you're watching any game, it doesn't even have to be the Packers. If you see somebody out of the game being evaluated for a concussion, just assume they're out. I don't think anybody's going to take any chances right now, which is actually a good thing,
as well, you know,
in terms of player safety. Just because,
exactly.
I don't even want to get started on the Tua situation, because I'll end up swearing so much. It'll end up being just one giant bleep. But
we'll be here for another 2 hours. So yeah,
exactly. So that stinks. Obviously, they're going to have to – I don't know if you're going to see more of Mike Abernathy coming up. Rudy Ford stepped in, did fine. Darnell Savage played a little better, but Rudy Ford did fine. But that ended up taking him off of special teams, and I really think Rudy Ford's better suited for special teams than he is defense, no offense. But I just think, you know, that the hope – I mean, maybe he'll be all right, but I would assume he's not going to be going to London. Coming forward. So let's look ahead. Speaking of London, let's look ahead to this coming weekend. Yeah, the Packers are hopping across the pond, as they like to say. And we'll be playing at Tottenham Stadium in London, facing the New York Giants. Kind of a highlight trip of the year, you know, regular season, kind of an outside the norm thing. Packers got 9 home games. This is one of them. Lindsay, how are any fun plans? Are you gonna do anything British for the game on Sunday?
Like some fish and chips or something?
Well, possibly. I mean, the downside to this is the game. So the game, and this really sucks for you, Lindsay.
In the morning.
Yeah, it's 8:30 Lambeau time, 7:30 in the morning for her. And then we've got a few staffers on the West Coast. And it's going to be 6:30 in the morning. We'll probably won't be any beer at that point, you know.
Like I don't know. Bloody Mary or a mimosa.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. I was just trying to think of something, you know. Maybe I will have some scotch for that game. It's I'm a Wisconsin boy, you know. That early stuff, that early drinking stuff doesn't faze us. But looking ahead, so the Packers faced a second and a third string quarterback this week. We're recording this on Sunday, so we have no clue on injuries as far as the Giants. But in their win over the Bears today, Daniel Jones went down, and so did their backup Tyrod Taylor, leaving no quarterback on the roster during the game today. And Saquon Barkley, the running back, was taking snaps out of the Wildcat, and they trotted out Daniel Jones with a bad ankle as a decoy wide receiver in the Wildcat. Lot to be decided yet on who they're going to face, but there's a very strong chance they could be facing a third-string quarterback, which the Giants have Davis Webb on their practice squad. I'm going to assume he's going to be elevated regardless of one of the other two are cleared, because if Taylor has a concussion, like we just said, I think they're going to err on the caution, especially with that flight that he won't play. But yeah, that could be a very different situation. I think after what happened this week, I would hope Joe Barry would have a little more, will have a little better luck against the third string quarterback this week.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I sure as hell hope so. That is just insane. I mean, though, like what you just said is insane. Oh my God, they don't have any QBs right now. That is wild.
This is a little stranger because, you know, the Broncos played that game last year, you know, but it was due to COVID. It wasn't due to injury, you know, where they trotted out a wide receiver quarterback. I forgot who they had playing. Was it? I can't remember. But, you know, this time is just a completely different situation. You know, I guess it's no different in a way than a position player pitching in baseball, but this is extremely rare at the NFL where, you know, we hear emergency quarterback. We kind of chuckled because, you know, we always joked about, you know, in Green Bay with Randall Cobb. Oh, is he going to throw a pass? Because he did in college in Kentucky way back in, what was that, the 60s, you know, since we all seem to be calling Cobb an old man. But, that's going to definitely be a situation to watch.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, without a doubt, and if we cannot beat a team who is playing their wide receiver for their QB, then we don't deserve to be playing. If that happens, if they're like that, no. That's too wild.
Yeah, I'm going to assume the Giants are going to elevate Webb and probably sign another quarterback this week. Lot to see there. So looking ahead to the actual game, you know, in terms of, you know, the rush defense, you know, we talked about the Packers struggling there. Saquon Barkley returning back from a ACL injury, definitely something to watch. He's still a very good running back. So I think, you know, I got a feeling next week we might see more of the same, but, you know, I think the Packers will probably be more prepared this time because the Giants, you know, the running game offense for Green Bay, the rush offense, will have a much better shot. You know, the Giants defense is currently trending 30 in total rushing yards on their defense, but they're 11th in passing yards. So I think next week we're going to see very much a very heavy dosage of Aaron Jones and probably A.J. Dillon next week in London.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said last week, I think if we go in and I think they will this time, and especially with it being in London, they're going to take it a little bit more seriously and just have a different headspace about it because, you know, it's a new space and, you know, for everyone. I do think the chances are pretty good. As long as they don't you know, dismiss it, dismiss the Giants or the game in general. I think we have a good chance, even with everything that we just discussed. I do think that the Packers can rally again, and I do want to say thanks to the Giants for beating the Bears today. That was cool. I appreciated that.
Yeah, and the Giants are 3-1, which I think is a surprising 3-1. They have not looked very good at times, but the Bears looked horrible at times today again. That's a team I think that might be the record might be a little deceiving in a bad way, you know, that they're not as good as they look. But hey, shout out to Brian Daboll for doing a great job out there so far. The Giants, I think, are a team in transition a bit, but hey, you know, they're off and starting. You can't really overlook anybody still at this early point in the season.
Exactly. Absolutely. And do you know why the Bears looked so bad? Because they still suck.
Had to get that in, didn't you? But yeah, that offense is something to behold. I just don't understand it. Anyway, that's going to pretty much do it for us on this episode of For Cheddar or Worst. We will be joining you again next week. So we'll have a nice spot of tea and a little bit. We'll enjoy some London early morning football. Lindsay will probably be running on coffee by the time we're recording at that point.
You have some tea and biscuits.
It's fish and chips. Yeah. London, if anybody's going to the game, have fun. London is such, I love England. I love London. I love the British people. It's a wonderful area, and I hope the Packers go out there and represent really well. They actually do have a very big following over there.
They absolutely do. It's so strong in London. In the UK, they have very strong following, just like the States.
And there are actual Packers pubs over there, if I recall. Like there's
all over the world. Rodgers has been the Packers. Like Packers bars, he's said in a couple of interviews, like all over the world, truly anywhere, there's a Packers bar, which is the coolest thing.
Gotta love it. So, yeah, we're taking this thing international next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Keep it on Acme Packing Company for all your Packers news and podcasts. Make sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. We greatly appreciate it. Lindsay, anything else to add before we go?
Just as always, go Pack, go.
Amen to that. All right. We're out. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll catch you in a week.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.